You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
If you got your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to be. We've been going through 1 Timothy for a few months, then now we're doing 2 Timothy. After Easter, we'll get to Titus, and we love just going through books of the Bible. So we've got here 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the last chapter of Scripture that Paul is going to ever write. So here we are getting the last words of Paul. And that works out perfect because right now it's kind of the last part of the basketball season with all of the college basketball time. It is March Madness, if you did not know. And today is selection day to see which teams will go into March Madness, which will be in the bracket. And so we're looking at the end of the year here. And I've got here a basketball here to be able to symbolize it and signed by one of the Rockets. And to be able to have this basketball to symbolize what Paul's going to tell us. It's the end of the season in March Madness, but it's also the end of the season of Paul's life. This is going to be the last scripture he's going to write. This is going to be the last chapter we're going to see. It's going to be the final four, if you will, of chapter four is what it's going to be. And so here we're going to see Paul speak to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor. He's a guy that's pastoring in a town called Ephesus. You've heard of the book of Ephesians. So Timothy is the pastor in Ephesus. And Paul has been giving him instruction all throughout 1 Timothy, all throughout 2 Timothy. Here's how the church is to be put together. Here's how things should be taken care of. Here's how you should act. Here's what it is to look like a pastor. Here's what you should do. And now Paul is going to do this. He's going to pass the ball to Timothy. We're going to see a pass happen in these next few verses and in this last chapter. So chapter 4 is a basketball pass. It's the final season. It's the pass right as the seconds are going down to make that last second shot. Now, do you know that in NBA basketball, they average 301 passes in a game? So there's a lot of passes that happen. Now, think about for us to even end up with the Bible in our lap, to end up with church here in Houston, Texas. How many passes had to happen? Jesus passing it to the disciples passing it to Paul, Paul passing it to Timothy, Timothy passing it to the church of Ephesus passing it on to other churches they planted. Finally getting somehow all the way here 2,000 plus years ago to now be here in the city of Houston, and we have the opportunity to pass the ball as well. But it's our moment. We got the ball. We've got it in our life right here at this moment. We'll pass it on at the end of our lives at some point. We'll pass it on in sharing Christ with people. But we've got the ball in this place. There's an opportunity that we have. Seniors, you're passing to the juniors. Juniors, you're passing to the sophomores. Sophomores to the freshmen. Eighth graders are getting it from the freshmen. On it goes. There's all these passes that happened. The final chapter is one of those moments where you huddle up and the coach is on his knee. He's got his dry erase board and he's talking about the play. And we're going to see Paul's play here with Timothy and we're going to see the pass. Look at chapter 4, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. And notice the weight. Notice the pace. Notice the tone. And as we read these five verses, for those of y'all that are action item people, you're going to love this because there's going to be 9 verbs in 5 verses. So if you're a to-do list guy and you like to do that, or to-do list lady and you like to put a to-do list down, I love that. I love it so much. I write things down on my to-do list I've already done just so I can feel the check mark happen. It feels great. You do too. You know you do. Verse 1, here we go. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead. Do you feel the weight of that? I solemnly charge you. It's like giving him an office, an oath of an office. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead because of his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage. Hear all those verbs? With great patience and teaching. Now we'll get to the other three or four verses and in just a moment, but here we have these first two verses. He's kicking it off, and this whole section is about the word of God. The end of chapter 3, it says that all scripture is inspired and profitable for teaching and correcting and reproving and training in righteousness, that it's an inspired word of God, that this is a big deal. This isn't just some book. This isn't just a book you have on your shelf. This is the inspired word of God. We learned about that last week. Amazing job. Dr. Tram will teaching on that. To be able to have this in our laps. So he's saying, I want you to understand and know the word, and then I want you to preach the word. Here's the deal. We've got to know the word so we can share the word. You got to know the word to share the word. We don't want to be a travel agent that's talking about an island they've never been to. We want to be able to know this word of God, to understand this word, and to walk in it. That's why we're teaching out of it. That's why you come to church. That's why we have life Bible study, for us to understand it, not just so we can just get it and just get more and more for us, but so we can receive it and it can flow through us and we can teach it. Now, let me just remove something from you. You're not going to understand everything in this book. It's not going to happen. I don't understand everything in this book. I read stuff and I'm like, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask that question. You know, what's the deal with this? I've been in Jeremiah in my quiet times. I finished this morning 52 chapters of wrath, okay, is what it is. It's basically judgment and disobedience, and a king does the wrong thing, and then they get wiped out, and then 52 chapters. I am so ready for Psalms. I'm so ready for Ephesians. I'm so ready for something that the word love comes up somewhere along the way. But I want Jeremiah to come through me because I need to understand Jeremiah. I need to understand the Old Testament a bit. I need to go through it. I want every bit of it, whether I understand it or not. I want it to come through my mind. I want it to come through my heart. I want it to come through my thought so that I can realize in the big picture, the Old Testament is getting us ready for a Savior. The New Testament declares what the Savior is, who the Savior is. And so now I can be a New Testament Christian by looking and learning from the Old Testament. Wow, judgment, wrath, all this disobedience, all this takeover of Jerusalem. But now, thankfully, I'm under Christ, and Christ has taken all that judgment and wrath for me. And so we've got to know the word to be able to share the word, but you don't have to be perfect in that. That's okay. None of us are perfect. That's why we're still learning. That's why we still got our pencils out. That's why we still got our listening guides going, because we're always learning and seeing. And then he says, I want you to know the word so you can share the word. In verse 2, look at it. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. Now, that word preach is a Greek word, kereso. Kereso is how you would say it, but kereso, kereso. That word means to publicly proclaim, to share the gospel. It doesn't mean to stand in a pulpit like I'm doing right now and preach, okay? Now, we think this passage of scripture is about people like me, but most believers in Christ are not going to do what I'm doing right now. It's going to be out in the highways and the byways, in your workplaces, and where you live and where you go to school. So this isn't preach the word like I'm preaching the word. It's meaning that you're declaring the word and you're sharing the word of God, the gospel, the good news of Christ, with wherever your platform is. This, by the grace of God, I'm honored beyond belief for the last 19 years to stand in this place, in this pulpit, week in and week out, and teach you the Bible. This is my platform. This is my place. This is where God's given me to be able to share other places as well, but this is kind of my main thing. So let me ask you this. You don't have this place. What's your address? Where's your condo? Where's your apartment located? Which townhouse on the row is yours? What's your address in the neighborhood? Where's your desk? Where's your cubicle? What class are you in? What sports do you play, students? What instrument do you play? Are you in drama? What is it that's your platform, your moment, your place, that's your place to preach the word? And you're not going to do it like I'm doing it right now, but with your life to be able to preach the word. Where's your business? Are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? Are you a plumber? Are you a carpenter? Are you a businessman or a businesswoman? Are you a teacher? Are you an administrator? Are you in the hospital industry, in the oil industry, in the energy industry? Where's your platform? Because Paul is passing the ball and he's saying, I want you to take this ball, Timothy, and then it's going to get passed in Houston and it's going to be received. And we're going to be able to have this ball and say, this is my moment, my time. I get to pass the ball and I get to share Christ with somebody else. And many of us are like, I'm not a basketball player. I'm an engineer. Somebody else is a basketball player. Y'all do the preaching stuff. I'll just do the building bridges stuff. No, wherever you are, God has given you the ball. And he said, I want you to preach the word with your life. And when you do that, it's not going to always be easy. It's not always going to be something you're like, yes, I'm fired up about that. That's amazing. Oh, I can't wait to be able to do that. There's going to be times that you don't feel like it. And that's why we have in this next scripture where it says this, preach the word, be ready, in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and teaching. Did you see that there? In season and out of season. We have to trust in the unchanging faithfulness in ever-changing times. We have to trust in the unchanging faithfulness of God in the ever-changing times. Now, the ever-changing times, yes, are out there in the world separate from us, but the ever-changing times are also inside of us. Let me tell you how I've always taken this scripture of in season and out of season. You can probably assume that I would really like this verse, right? I've kind of given my life to this verse of preach the word in season and out of season. So I love this verse. Here's how I've always taken it to be this verse. And this is a good place to take it. But there's another way to take it as well. Here's how I've always taken it. I've always taken it as an emotional time of whether I felt like it or not. Now, I got bad news for you. Not every Sunday do I wake up going, I can't wait to preach all day long. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, normal people sleep in. Normal people's vacations end on Sunday night, not Saturdays, right? Normal people do all these things. And then usually, just to encourage you, around point two, I'm like, this is the greatest thing in the world. I love this. This is great. I don't want to do anything else but doing this. Charles Spurgeon said this, if God's called you to preach, don't stoop to being a king. That's his heart of just saying, I want to go for it. I want to be able to do that. I want to let that be in my heart. But there's times in which I don't feel like I want to do it. And there's going to be times in your life as well, you don't feel like you want to read your scriptures. You don't feel like you want to go to church. You don't feel like you want to give. You don't want to feel like you want to serve. And that's okay. That's fine. That's okay. We all go through that. There's seasons that happen in our lives. But here's where the strength in our life comes and where we really see the blessing of God is when we don't feel like it and we stay faithful. There's probably going to be seasons in your marriage. Stay faithful. There's going to be seasons in your business where you're going to walk in that same office, maybe on year 25 or 30, and be like, do I have to do this again? Stay faithful. There's going to be times you think, well, I don't want to go to church. I'll just catch it later on. Stay faithful. Get with the body of Christ and worship and receive and connect in those ways. Stay faithful and walk with the Lord in those ways. You're not going to always feel like it. But we want to operate with faithfulness, not with feelings. Because when you operate with feelings, you just get blown by the wind. And I'm not talking about some strange duty where I gotta go and I'm gonna make my kids go and I'm gonna make myself go and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I realize there's a deeper desire in me than what I feel in this very moment. I want to be faithful in my marriage. I want to be faithful in my parenting. I want to be faithful in my church. I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to share the gospel. I want to be faithful to make a difference. I want to do all that. Now, last night I stayed up too late and this morning I got up too early. I don't feel like it. But I want to walk with God in the faithfulness. So in season and out of season, be faithful. I love this song. It's called Seasons by Hillsong. Here's what it says. I can see the promise. I can see the future. You're the God of seasons, and I'm just in the winter. If I know at all what a harvest is about, I know that it's worth my patience. Now hear this big time phrase. Then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. Hear it? If you're not done working, I'm not done waiting. Seasons in life. There's seasons in life. Now, let me just, in Houston, I got to define what a season is. Do we know what seasons are? You know what that word is? Have you heard from friends about seasons? I mean, we basically have two seasons. We have summer and almost summer, okay, is what we have. So we think we're in spring right now. We're really in almost summer is where we are, okay? Who knows what will happen next? We could be going back to winter if we even had a winter. I mean, on it goes. But a season, it just ebbs and flows. So the first thing is that emotional part that you stay faithful regardless of how you feel. And then the second thing is this, preach the word whether or not you think the people are ready to hear it or not. I've seen many a person through my ministry come in with arms like this, looking at me like this, and by the end like this. You never know what God's doing in somebody's life. You never know what's happening when you share the gospel. And we give ourselves so many excuses. No, not now. We'll do it later. Not now. Do it later. Do now. Not now. Do it later. Not now. Do it later. And what happens? We end up never doing it. And instead to be able to say, I want to share the gospel and I want to trust the Lord and I want to share with my life that God is at work and I'm going to trust that he's doing something whether I can see it or not. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. Don't take an exaggerated view of what the Lord expects of you. He will not blame you for not doing what is beyond your mental power or physical strength. You are required to be faithful. You're not bound to be successful. You are to teach, but you cannot compel people to learn. You are to make things plain, but you can't give carnal men an understanding of spiritual things. So we throw out the seed. Remember the seed and the sower? Throw out the seed and you let the seed blossom as it needs to blossom. So what do you do if you're in a season that's kind of out of season? Think about a farmer. An agrarian society is this time period that we're reading here in the Bible. A farmer's got to be ready out of season to plant and to water and to till the field and to get the rows right so that in season, he's ready to be able to have it. All of us have had green bananas and we're waiting for them to turn yellow. Out of season, going to become in season. We've got to get ready and till the fields and always be ready, always be learning so that God can do his work. Secondly, when you're out of season, I would encourage you to give more input of Jesus. If you spend 10 minutes with God and you're out of season, spend 20 minutes with God. If you don't feel like coming to church, come to church even more. If you don't feel like giving, give even more. If you don't feel like serving, serve even more. And what will happen is you will end up discovering a blessing of getting to your deepest desires of what you have. Remember, I was 18 years old. I became a Christian when I was 16. I sat down with a friend and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. Too hard. I'm losing too many friends. It's not as fun as I thought it would be. Reading the Bible and I don't even know what it's talking about. And they said, you stick with it because God's going to show up. I know he feels distant right now, but you just stick with it. You be faithful and you keep walking and you just wait on the Lord. Let me ask you, what kind of blessings would I have missed from 18 to 53 if I'd have quit as a teenager? Don't quit. You be faithful. Whatever age you are, you never know what God is up to. You may be in this winter season right now, and tomorrow may be the greatest spring of your spiritual life. You never know when that prayer is going to get answered. You never know when that time is going to get a breakthrough. You never know when God's going to do something in an amazing way. Live by the faithfulness, not the feelings. Let me give you one last thing on this of just being able to stick with it. It's St. Patrick's Day. I didn't wear green, but I got a St. Patrick's quote. So don't pinch me, okay? I got security. They'll get you. So St. Patrick, he got kidnapped. And then he went back to share Christ with his kidnappers and to share the Lord with them all over Ireland, spread all over Ireland. Amazing thing. It's more than just green stuff. It's an amazing story. Here's what he says in his prayer that they call the breastplate prayer. It's like a protective prayer. That's what he's praying. Here's what he says. This is just a piece of it. It's a real long one. It says, I arise today and through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eyes to look after me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host of angels to save me. Then with Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to my right, Christ to my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye of everyone that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. You see him standing into a platform? Saying, I'm going to declare something and it's going to be about Jesus. I'm going to preach the word. What else would you preach? Your opinion? You think that's going to last? Your thoughts, your experience? Preaching the word with your life, with your mouth, in your heart, in your soul, that you share what the faithfulness of God is, even in season and out of season. Now, look at this next section here. This next section is going to give us, well, what should we be saying and what are other people saying and what's going on? Look at verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. Hey, brother, we're here. We're here. But according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Now, watch what's going to happen. They're going to do two things. They will, number one, they will turn aside from the hearing of the truth and will turn aside to myths. They will turn away from the hearing of the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, and we'll get there in just a second, See, we have to share what we need, not what we want. Share what we need, not what we want. So he's saying, look, there's going to be a time, and they were there, because this was in a time that there was false teaching about the temple of Diana, is what was happening in Ephesus, where this was taking place. We've got false teachings today. We got weak teachings today. We got all sorts of things. But to be able to say this moment of, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. He says, look, you need to share what we really, really need, not just what we want. What we really need, not what we want. I remember growing up, I was the only grandchild for a long time on one side of my family. And it was awesome. Let me tell you what, it was great. So I got all the gifts you could possibly give on that moment. It was like everybody else was an adult. They were so old. They must have been 30 or 40. And I mean, there they were. And I was the only grandchild on that side of the family. And I just was raking it in. It was awesome. But then I remember one Christmas, I was about 10 years old, and I kept opening these rectangle boxes with tissue papers of clothes. A 10-year-old, you know, you shake, oh gosh. Oh, this is just what I wanted, another plaid shirt, this is great. Hey, this is another pants, this is, oh, another t-shirt. You know, you're trying to fake it. You've all done that before, right? Done it. Dad, you've always faked when they say, oh, thank you so much. And you're like, I have no clue what we bought you, but thank you. Yeah, it's because your wife did all the buying, right? So I'd get all this stuff and it just clothes, over and over clothes. And then I got some toys sprinkled in, which was good. That was fine. I didn't get all that. But you know what I needed for school? I needed clothes. That's what I needed. You know what I wanted is I wanted a bunch of toys. And here's what you realize as a Christian. What you need, watch, is actually what you deeply want. Your deepest desire is exactly what you need. That's why it means something in the Lord's Prayer when he said, give us this day our daily bread. Because you need that. You know that you need manna from heaven. You need something from God. You need something in the heart, in the soul. Forgive us our trespasses and forgive us those who have trespassed against us. We know that we need forgiveness. It's not a toy. It's so that we can be clothed in Christ. Clothed in the righteousness, clothed in the forgiveness of Christ, clothed in the things of Christ. We need that more than we need the toys. So let me give you some sound doctrine. This is what you need. God has created you. God loves you. God has a plan for you. God knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. And he's given you a really large book of 66 books that you can read at any moment. You can listen to it. You can hear it preached. You can watch it on video. You can read it. You can read it in all different languages. You can read it in all different versions. You can read thou. You can read hey, dude. You can read whatever you want. And you can get this word of God, sound doctrine, real stuff, not based on the blowing winds of society. And this Bible tells us a Messiah is coming. And this Messiah is prophesied from the Old Testament. He's fulfilled all these prophecies. He's the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. And then he's born in Bethlehem. He's born of a virgin. He's born in the right place at the right time with the right woman. And here he is. Now he's going to, because God's patient, God's going to have him born as a child. And he's going to grow up. And in 33 years, he's going to die on the cross for you and for me. And he's going to be buried in a tomb and he's going to rise from the grave. He's going to send his Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And he's going to have an offering to us, an invitation to us to say, and you can become a Christian and you can receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And we love in our world to talk about kindness. We love to talk about love and we all love to talk about all these which is all great. Those are Christian verbs. Let me tell you what sound doctrine is. This Bible is an authority in our lives. And it speaks of a God who's an authority in our lives. And it speaks of a Savior that's an authority in our lives. So that we, contrary to human nature, bow our knee and say, Lord, I humbly come before you and I give you my life and my heart, and we receive the ball. So that then we could stand and rise and preach the word with the platform God's given us, and we can pass the ball as well. And so he says, I want you to not just what you just what tickles your ears, just what scratches your ears, just what you want to hear. We got to be real careful of that. I'm just getting in a place where it's just an echo chamber, but to be able to hear the things from God. And here's the deal. You're going to get through Jeremiah and you're going to not like everything you're hearing and reading. And you're going to have to bow and say, okay, Lord, but I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Our church is committed. This is our vision statement, to be irrelevant. We want to connect with today's world. Biblical. We want to look into the word. Community. We want to join together and connect with people in a great way and have a community here. We've got a phrase we've been using this year called More in 24. And I'm going to preach each quarter a different message on a different part of it. Right now it's More Purpose. And this is what our phrase is for More Purpose of this first quarter of 24. I will grow in my faith through more prayer and Bible study. That's how you find purpose in life. I'll grow in my faith through more prayer and Bible study. So we get what we need, not what we want. And we realize what we need is actually exactly what we want. We want a Savior. We want hope from heaven. We want somebody to forgive our sins. We don't have to work this whole thing out. God showed up from heaven through Jesus. That's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want. Now, can I do everything my flesh wants? No, I can't. But I want to do what he wants. Now look at this last verse of scripture and we're done. Now he's talked about this big grandiose stuff. And now we get to verse 5. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, sharing your faith, and fulfill your ministry. I want you to say those last three words with me together. On the count of three, we're going to say it together, all campuses. We're going to say, fulfill your ministry. One, two, three. Fulfill your ministry. One more time. Fulfill your ministry. Did you see the switch in verse 5? He says, Timothy, but as for you. We can talk about, oh, they're not teaching right. Oh, they're not doing right. Oh, this is wrong. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, it's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. It's this group's fault. It's that group's fault. But as for you, I want you to have self-control. I want you to endure hardship because it's not going to be easy. And I want you to do the work of an evangelist. I want you to share this great faithfulness of God. And I want you to be able to pass the ball. He gives us four imperatives in that. Verbs, self-control, endure, evangelize, and fulfill your ministry. So do you know that fulfilling your ministry, you have a ministry. You have a ministry. Where's your condo? Where's your apartment? Where's your townhome? What's your address? Where's your desk? Where's your cubicle? Where's your office? Where's your school? What are you involved in? Who do you hang with? You have a ministry. I have a ministry as well. And it's not just right here, but to have that ministry to fulfill your ministry. Now, some of it's going to be awesome. Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches, and he has a revival. Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches and he gets rocks. But then that martyrdom furthered the gospel. We're still talking about Stephen today. So fulfill your ministry. Jesus is not going to say to you when you get to heaven, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were better than so-and-so. But as for you. So in March Madness, in chapter final four with Paul, comes down to Paul's making a pass to Timothy. Timothy's making a pass to us. And then we've got the ball right now. And what's the goal? To fulfill our ministry. It takes a lot of connections. Jesus passed it to the disciples. The disciples passed it to Paul. Paul passed it to Timothy. Timothy passed it to Ephesus. Ephesus passed it to other churches. It finally got down somewhere down here where now we got it here in Houston. My youth minister passed it to me. And now I get to pass it to other people as well. You need a duo. What would basketball be without a duo? What would Jordan be without Pippen? What would Magic be without Kareem? What would Kobe be without Shaq? What would Steph Curry be without Klay Thompson? What would LeBron James be without Dwayne Wade? What would Tim Duncan be without Tony Parker? What would Paul be without Timothy? And what would Timothy be without Paul? You got the ball. I got the ball. This is our moment. Fulfill your ministry and let God use you in a great way. In season, out of season. 9 verbs he gave us here. Preach, be ready, reprove, rebuke, exhort, self-control, endure, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, that you have given each of us a platform, a place to serve. Most in the sound of my voice, it's a different kind of preaching than what I just did. But Lord, you've given every student, every child, every adult, a ministry. And we want to fulfill it. That's where the joy of life is, fulfilling it for you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me just give you some really sound doctrine. God sent his one and only Son. He lived a sinless life. You and I have not lived a sinless life. We have sinned. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. You'll receive him as your Savior. Place your faith in him to forgive your sins. He'll wash you clean. He'll live inside your heart. Just pray right now and say, Jesus, forgive my sins. Save my soul. I trust you to be my Savior. If you already know Christ as your Savior, how can God use your platform? Who comes to mind right now? What place comes to mind? How can your school or your business or your workplace or your home or your retirement or whatever it is, how can it be used for God? Father, don't let us drop the ball. Just hold the ball. Pass the ball. Take heed to these final words of Paul in this chapter. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.